You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guest is Robin Greenfield, an activist and social reformer who's often described as the Robin Hood of modern times or the Forrest Gump of ecology. Robin has dedicated his life to an action-based philosophy of living simply and sustainably as a form of resistance against systems of exploitation. He's currently in the midst of a year-long challenge foraging 100% of his food and medicine while traveling across the country to share a powerful message that the Earth provides us with everything we need. Welcome to the Exchange, Robin.
Hello, it's very nice to be on with you this morning.
Well, you've embarked on previous activism campaigns before this one. Can you describe the ones before?
Sure. Well, yes, in 2011, I was living in California and San Diego, and I was living a fairly typical lifestyle, really focused on material possessions and financial wealth. And then I started to watch documentaries and read books, and I learned that what we call the American dream is actually the world's nightmare in many ways, and that my life was causing so much destruction to the earth. And I set out to transform my life step by step to be the change I wish to see in the world and also to let my life be my message. So I've been immersed in many different campaigns to share this with people, share alternative ways of being, from hiking across the country on a bamboo bicycle to walking from Canada to Mexico, to living like the average person for a month and wearing every piece of trash that I created, making a visual of just how much garbage we create, and many, many adventures in exploring the global industrial food system and ways of doing things differently.
Well, you must be a young guy in really good shape.
I'm 39. I'll be 40 this year. And as you could say, I'm in some decent shape.
Well, this year, you're foraging 100% of your food and medicine. What was the catalyst for this specific experiment?
Sure. Well, I learned that the way that we source our food from the grocery stores and the restaurants, most of it, when we take a bite, we take a bite out of the planet. We're doing harm with most of the bites that we take. And I want to eat and live in a way that is in harmony with the earth. So it's been a long journey of exploring how we can do that. And of course, there's supporting local farmers, growing our own food. And this is an exploration for me of really finding a deep home on this earth in foraging 100% of my food and medicine. Everywhere that I go, I'm creating connections and relationships with the plants, the mushrooms, the animals that we share this home with. So it's a really deep practice in breaking free from systems that no longer serve and really starting to feel just the deepest sense of belonging and connection that I can here on this earth.
So what does it mean to live by earth code?
Sure. So in this nation, as I'm sure most people listening to this know, we have laws, and these laws are designed to protect the people and create an environment that should be enriching to the life of everyone. But as we look at a lot of these laws, we see that they're not designed to protect everyone. They're designed to protect the few, often at the expense of the many. And so for me, rather than following any code or law just because it's written on paper, I question it. I ask, what's the derivation of this law and what is it designed to do? And so right now, for example, I'm foraging, all over, and that includes in city parks. And there's many cities where there is a blanket statement law that says you can't pick anything, not even the dandelions or the weeds or the plants that are being literally mowed or the plants that are considered invasive that are being, eradicated. And so for me, I see, in harvesting these plants, I'm going to do no harm to the earth, no harm to the, my fellow humanity, no harm to the plants and animals. So I will joyfully follow earth code. For me, earth code supersedes government code. And I'm certainly a supporter of having, guidelines that serve the people. And so often earth code is going to supersede government code for me.
I hear you. Unfortunately, government codes are enforced by force. How do you get around that?
Well, of course, as far as this particular code with foraging, the reality is that these are just words on a paper. They're not enforced. I've been doing pretty extensive looking into this, and it's not a concern to break these codes. Now, I am going to be doing a fair bit of bringing attention to these codes this year, and we will see exactly what happens. And with that, one thing I'll do to get around is to support the people. So that's why we're creating the Foragers Defense Fund. So if anybody does hear this and they forage and then they end up actually getting a ticket, for example, then we will have their back. So, you know, and then the other element of this is, for me personally, as there's a rich tradition of this in this nation, there's the practice of civil disobedience, knowing that the time is always right to do what's right. And today, in the times that we live in, that is a myriad of thousands of different ways in which it's important to truly live our values and not shrink and cower away from dominator structures.
Well, you've said that your life is, quote, an experiment with truth and integrity, end quote. How does rejecting the global industrial food system help you achieve your personal liberation?
Yeah, I appreciate that question. Well, right now we are going through what's been coined the sixth extinction. And right now we are seeing that that is caused by the way human beings are living in relationship to this earth, with food being at the center of that, with through our system of industrialization and globalization and monocrops and GMOs, we are really truly wiping out life on the face of this earth in a completely unprecedented way. And so food is at the core of this. You know, there's 8 billion people, and we don't all drive, we don't all fly, but, you know, we all do eat. We're not all fortunate to get enough food, but we all do eat. And so it's one of the ways in which that human beings cause the most impact on this earth. And food is at the core of our cultures, our, you know, our relationships, our sense of self. And so for me, that's at the core of my practice and my sharing with others, is to reconnect to the earth and to our communities through our food. And I also love this because it's a joyous path rather than a sense of necessarily sacrifice. It's finding other ways to meet our needs that do enrich the world around us. And so for me, that comes through localized food systems, through food sovereignty, through growing food, through foraging, and all the ways in which we can heal the earth.
My guest is Robin Greenfield. He's in the midst of a year-long challenge, foraging 100% of his food and medicine while traveling across the country to share a powerful message that Earth provides us with everything we need. Robin will give a talk in Mount Shasta on June 13th, and he'll be at the Ashland Bellevue Grange on June 17th at 6 p.m. Robin, you bring a mobile pantry with you on your travels, right?
Correct.
Can you walk us through what's in it?
Oh, yes. Right now, I'm 8 months into the year of foraging all my food and medicine. I think today's day 243. I began on October 9th of 2025. And I have been traveling the country sharing, which means I've been eating a wide diversity of food depending on where I am. And I would say that I'm probably my diet has consisted of over 200 different plants. But my staples that are in my pantry include wild rice, stinging nettle, venison and fish, a lot of fruits like applesauce and pear sauce and plum sauce will be in there, as well as berries like blackberries and service berries, lots of mushrooms, different herbs and spices like bee balm and wild onion. Of course, my salt comes from the ocean. I just harvested some in the Bay Area a couple days ago. And a lot of herbal teas as well. Herbal teas are one of my main sources of medicine and, you know, many, many vitamins and micronutrients. And so it's a pretty diverse diet of plants, fungus, as well as venison and fish.
Where, when you're traveling, where do you find food?
Well, food and medicine is growing freely and abundantly all around us. So I find food wherever plants are growing, really. Well, I take that back. I'm not eating from farms and I'm not eating from other people's gardens. The earth is my garden, but it's growing all around. So I'm in public parks, city parks, you know, and then just natural areas. I'm lakes and rivers and streams, people's front yards and backyards. There's all sorts of what we call weeds growing in our yards, churchyards and schoolyards, the side of the road, fruit trees growing in empty lots and along the, you know, right in the streets in the city. So really all over the place.
Well, speaking of fruit trees, you've launched the 1 million community fruit trees initiative. Tell me about it.
Sure. So over the next decade, we are planting 1 million community fruit and nut trees through a grassroots collaborative effort of hopefully thousands of people. And what we're doing is, it's a very decentralized system with some centralization to help support everything. But what we're doing is we are teaching people how to build a simple 4x8 raised bed that we can grow 1,000 trees in. It takes less than a year to produce these 1,000 trees through a very simple system that anybody could do in a backyard and even a patio. And then sharing how to distribute the trees freely in the community. Then basically how to care for the trees, and then how to actually harvest this fruit and make wonderful foods from this fruit, and as well as the nuts. So we're focused on a lot of native plants, but not just natives, trees that are highly productive, that have minimal diseases, that are an issue and that propagate very easily from seeds and cuttings. So the website for that is communityfruittrees.org. And we are looking for people who want to help support this and to make it possible. We're keeping the costs very low, but to plant 1 million trees definitely takes some funds. And we're looking for people who see that, you know, the future is not so certain as far as our, you know, Roth IRAs and our mutual funds. And they're maybe more certainty in right now in planting trees that are going to provide nourishing food for people and fresh air and clean water.
Well, you can't go wrong with planting trees, but as a practical question, is foraging really feasible to feed ourselves in the modern world, or is this just a symbolic act?
So, you know, the question is foraging feasible feed ourselves in the modern world is a very deep question. The first thing that we have to ask is the current global industrial food system, you know, able to feed ourselves? And the reality is that in the short term, yes, but in the long term, we are on a path to extinction as a humanity through the food that we are currently eating. So this is basically a matter of us exploiting and extracting to the point where potentially we'll destroy ourselves. So there's bounty now, but it won't be there. As far as the idea of everybody going out and foraging all of the food tomorrow, if everybody just went out with no care, we would do some serious harm. But that's not what foragers do. Foragers learn how to give to what gives to us. And along with that, we can help to propagate these plants. The most irrigated crop in this country is not corn, soy, or wheat. It's our own grass. It's our lawns. And so foragers can turn their yards into gardens and turn that all into a more natural ecosystem that they can harvest and they can share. So it's much deeper critical thinking. And if the whole world wanted to forage tomorrow, it would mean the whole world was critically thinking, and it would mean we're questioning our societal norms and structures, and we would be changing so much along with that.
Well, we have about a minute left. After months of foraging, what has been the most meaningful discovery that you've made?
Well, yeah, I'm 8 months in and here I am. I haven't dwindled away, and my body, my mind, my spirit are all doing very well. And part of this experience, this experiment, is to dissolve the illusion of separateness that I've been indoctrinated with, the idea that I'm separate from the earth, the plants, and the animals. And day by day, week by week, month by month, I'm feeling more and more that I am a part of all of this. And my objective is to get to the point where I can feel in every single part of my body that I am interconnected with this earth, like humans have experienced for a very long time. It's a long journey, but step by step, I'm making that process and progress. And I'm traveling the West Coast from San Diego to Seattle, leading foraging walks and plant walks, just sharing the passion and love for everybody along the way.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much, Robin.
You're very welcome.
My guest was Robin Greenfield. He's given a talk in Mount Shasta on June 13th at the Ashland and at the Ashland Bellevue Grange on June 17th at 6 p.m. For more information and updates, visit robingreenfield.org.